Listen to the Lord who created you. The one who formed you says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior."
Amazing weekend. Hey, guys. Hey, just want to say right from the beginning, those of you who came out to serve with What If Everyone, you probably got one of these t-shirts. Thanks so much for doing that. Thank you. It's great when we do things like this. And those of you who actually gave and sponsored the shirt, we got some sponsorship going on right here. Yes. And so thank you so much for doing that. It's a big thing. It's huge. And you know what's great also is for those of you who give consistently to Mosaic, because we've been able to do so many things, and we just wanted to show you just a little bit of what we've been able to do. But also, we do this thing called random acts of kindness, which I think it's like really, honestly, like intentional acts of kindness, because you got to have money to do that. And so we do that because you fund it. And we are so grateful that you guys are a generous church. So thank you. Why don't you give it up for yourself? Can we do that? Yes, right? Right? Yes. So really quick, I got to tell you, I've missed you guys. I really have. I missed you guys. And those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I haven't been here in this physical location. And I gotta tell you, I've been seeing other people. I mean, I've Metro. I'm talking about you. I've been at Metro, and I'm falling in love with Metro people. They're awesome, awesome group. Yes, and it's always great to be with you guys. So let's make some noise for them. Can we do that? Yes. Make some noise. Kristen and her team do an amazing job. And then obviously we got live stream happening in the house as well. So, hey, if you're on live stream and you want to just check out a place really quick, this is a great location. You guys, this is a great location. And also Plaza Midwood, and for love for you to do that. And if you're in a different country, someone will buy you a ticket. Not us, but someone will buy you a ticket. But hey, we're glad you join us as well. So, This morning has been really really awesome, because we're starting a brand new conversation. And so if you're a guest here, what we do is we take a topic and we name it something, and we talk about it. And it's a concept that we kind of talk through. And I'm going to be talking about this concept of voices for the next few weeks. And every week I'm going to be talking about what does it mean to actually hear God's voice. Because, you know, if you're here, if you're in Metro, if you're watching, I mean, the truth is that you and I are trying to figure out what God is saying. I don't know, have you ever had any issues hearing God? Anybody? You're right. So what is God trying to say? Because the truth is, it seems that in the scriptures, is that God has done something totally fundamentally different in humanity when he introduced his son Jesus. And so let me explain. Like, humanity was on a course to continue to use ceremonies and rituals and religion to connect with God. And so now you got God, who insists to be called Father, Creator, sends his son Jesus and changes, honestly, the relationship that humanity can have with the divine. So he sends his son, does something that we know with the cross, we know the sacrifice, but something else takes place in which, by which we now become the temple of God's Spirit. And so no longer do we have to go to places to hear God's voice. God actually speaks to us and he lives inside of us. The problem is, how do you figure out who is, who's talking, right? Have you ever heard someone say something inside of you? You're like, that's not true, right? Or you go, really? No. And because I don't know about you, but God sounds a lot like me in me. Does that make sense? So how do you know? How do you figure out who is God and who's not and what's going on here? So this morning, I want to talk about that. I want to start with this idea where we have to start with, like, where are we and what is the voice that we have honestly been listening to for a long time, maybe even as a kid. I have a voice, but let me illustrate this. I actually had an experience yesterday. I did not technically serve at What If Everyone. And I know, you guys are like, why are you wearing the t-shirt, buddy? And to that, my friend, I would say, because I am married to the person who started What If Everyone. So, comes with perks, people. But I was serving, I guess, my city. I mean, not I guess, but so I actually did the opening prayer and the benediction, not for the wedding, just so you know. No, I sent my boy to do that. But no, he's not my boy. Anyways, but I mean, he could be my boy. I mean, as in, anywho. So I'm doing the opening and prayer and this closing benediction for the graduation for Johnson & Wales. So I don't know if you know anything about Johnson & Wales. We've got the dean of students in the house. Hello. I see you. Okay. So I get asked to do this. I'm thinking, yeah, sure. Because that's my response to everything. Yeah, sure. I'll do it. It's all good. I'm thinking graduation. I'm thinking high school graduation. I don't even know. I'm thinking it's a small college. No big deal. Nothing. I don't read the email. I don't get the whatever. And then the night before, Friday night, I start reading this stuff. I'm like, oh, hold up. They're renting out the entire stadium. Like, this is in the Spectrum Center? This is like I'm like, how many students are graduating? What are we doing here? It's like over 500 students. I'm like, what? Then I read the email, and it's supposed to be like, I'm supposed to be robed. My prayer was going to be, dear Jesus, thanks so much. I'm like, all of a sudden, I mean, I didn't tell them. And you didn't hear this, but I go to a freak out mode, like, oh, I have to write this prayer down. Like, I gotta come up with something. So then I'm like, do I have to wear a suit? No, please, no. Ah! So, anyways, I freak out a little bit, wear my suit, show up. I'm supposed to enter this, VIP entrance. There's a VIP entrance next to the call center at the state. Did you guys know that? Well, I don't know. Yeah, some of you guys are like, I didn't know that existed. And apparently no one knows, because I then spent 30 minutes to actually get to that place. Anywho, I walk in, meet the president, happen to know him. I didn't know, I knew. Anyways, Alan, who's on staff there too, as well. Anyways, I come in, and they're like, okay, we're going to robe you. And then there's, like, on the floor, there are names. Like, you're going to stand here, and there's my name, there are people's names. And my name, it's so funny, it just had my last name, because this because they misspelled my first name and they didn't know what to do, so they just cut it off. They're like, Fozzle, that's it. We know it's Fozzle. You stand here, my friend. I was like, got it. So we got this robe action going on, everything. I'm like, this is official, the president's there, and we're gonna do a marching thing. We're gonna go into this arena, thousands of people, and then I'm like, I'm supposed to do the opening and the ending. So I'm going to be stuck on the stage with the faculty or whatever the entire time. So I'm like, oh, this is happening. This is great. So I took a video of it. Now, yeah, no, I didn't. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Let me just show you. Yes. I could, yes. Look at this. Look at the magnitude of this, right? Now, they don't know I did this. They don't know the video is out, people, but I did. So, some of you guys are like, seriously, you did this? You did this? First of all, you know what? No one else was doing it. Second of all, I asked permission, sort of, maybe, but Jesus. And I did it the whole thing didn't even start. I was like, okay, I'm doing this. Here's why. This moment meant so much to me. It's not because I was talking to people, like thousands of people. It's not the biggest crowd I've talked to. That was on the point. And it was not, the point was that I was in a robe or anything like that. The point was, see, I've always had this voice in me, and it's that negative internal narrative that consistently has played throughout my life. And I think it's the one thing I will struggle with for the rest of my life. And it's this phrase. It's like, you're not that smart. You're not that bright. And so that moment for me was a big deal because I didn't graduate. Like, I flunked out of middle school, okay? They finally put me in high school because I was taller than the teachers. You know, like, they're like, you got to move. They kicked me out of one school. I had to go to another school. Anyways, got into high school somehow. I don't even know. Sneaked in there. And then the war took place. I don't know if you know my story. There was a war in the Gulf, and I was stuck in the war. I didn't graduate from high school either. So now I come to the States, I haven't graduated anything. So I beg the college to give me a chance. They let me in, all right? I don't know why, College Charleston, love you guys. Okay, they let me in, and I finally graduate college. I mean, that was it. I did that. That happened, okay? But I do have this recurring dream that they're calling me back because I haven't finished have you guys had that? Like your degree doesn't count. You don't have a diploma. You got to go back. I'm like, no! Then I wake up. Anyways, I don't know why I have that. It's some connected to some psychological problem. Anyways, so the moment was important for me is because I was the guy that dealt with this issue of not being smart enough, not being intelligent, and I didn't even think I would be ever in a setting where there was a graduation happening, let alone moving from actually not just being in the audience of watching someone else graduate or not just graduating, but then actually having to pray over the graduates, sitting with the president. For me, that was like a, oh my gosh. And I'll tell you, in the middle of that, as the president said, hey, come on up, and I'm supposed to pray over them, I'm thinking, don't screw this up. Don't screw this up. And make sure it's English that comes out. You know what I'm saying? Because when I get nervous, I just change. I just change languages, you know? I do it to cops all the time. You know, anyways, so they're like, what? We thought you were Latino. Anyway, so I'm freaking out. So this conversation is important to me because I wonder, what is your narrative? Like, what's the one phrase, word, sentence, paragraph, the story that you've just believed and you live it out? Something that's not necessarily even negative, but it's incomplete. So this series is really about that. So what I want to do is I want to take you through where I believe like the beginning of how this started in us. And when I mean us, I'm talking about all of humanity. And I don't retitle my messages really at all. I just don't. But this series, I'm titling all the messages. And so this morning, the title of this message is called Gossip in the Garden. Can you say that out loud? Let's say it, Metro. Gossip in the garden. Yes, gossip in the garden. What does that mean? Anybody know what gossip is? Anybody? You do? Yes? Make some noise. Okay. Anybody like gossip? Come on. This is Mosaic. This isn't First Baptist. This is Mosaic. Okay? How many of you know gossip is bad? And it's juicy. Right? What's interesting is that we all have definitions of what gossip is. Let me give you another one. It's the ability to create a reputation. Gossip is the ability to create reputation. Gossip is actually a mechanism. I mean, if you research gossip and the idea behind it, it's actually something that is used to create a corporate reputation or basically create a culture about someone or something. So the gossip around something can actually create the reputation of that thing. It might not even be true. But whatever it is, it's gossip around it. And there was a gossip, a reputation created about God in the garden that I think that is connected to why we have a hard time hearing God. So let's just jump in. If you got your Bibles, grab those. We're going to go through the book of Genesis. And if there is a one thought, big thought for the entire series, it's this thought. Okay, so before we jump in, let me give it to you right now. The voice in your world, like in your world, right, your life, in your world can determine the value of your worth. Like the truth is the voices, the things you listen to in your world, in your life, in your season, can actually determine the value of your worth. How important you think you are, how important you really are, it's connected. So let's jump in. Genesis 3, chapter 3. It starts off, it says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord had made. One day he asked the woman, did God, help me out, did God what? Really say, can you say really? Really say? Did he really say that you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Come on, that's not true. And then she goes, no, that's not true. Of course, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's just only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. It's just the middle. Question is, how big was the Garden of Eden? I mean, was it this small that we're rubbing up against it? Oh my gosh, why is it in the middle? Or was it really expansive? How likely was it for them to jump, to like brush up against it and see it? It's interesting. So then it keeps on going. He says, no, we can eat. It's just the middle of the garden, right? We may not eat. And what's the deal? He said, God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will what? You will die. What's interesting about this phrase is they didn't even know what birth meant. So I don't know how they understood death. You do know, right? They didn't, Adam and Eve, you know, if you believe the story, if you think it's a poetry, it's whatever. The idea there, though, is that he didn't have a belly button. Think about it. He didn't. They didn't know what birth meant, but I don't know what they meant by death. What is death? I don't know what death is. I don't even know. Because see, sometimes God says something. Hey, something's going to happen. Just trust me. I don't expect you to understand it. I just want you to listen and just don't do this. He says, oh, you will die. You won't die, whatever that thing is. You won't die. Why? Well, he replied. He says, the serpent replied, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you, what? Eat it. And you will be like God. You'll be like God. Okay, so what is God like? Oh, he knows good and evil. He knows both good and evil. Is that it? That is what a God looks like? Has the ability to do? Interesting. There's so many lies here. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it gave her, so she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, right, who was with her, and he, what did he do? He ate it. See, that's the problem. You put food in front of a dude's face, he's going to do what? He's going to eat it. It doesn't even have to look good. He's going to eat it. Then he's like, what am I eating? The woman, smarter, goes, oh, this looks good. This is probably healthy. No. Guy just eats it. Then what happens? At that moment, their eyes were opened. It's interesting, this phrase, this eyes were opened. What does that even mean, right? And then they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, why did we have to put that in there? I don't know. Anywho, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden, so they did what? So they heard God, and the first thing they did was hide. They hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to man, where are you? He replied, I heard you walking in the gardens, so I hid and I was afraid because I was naked. Okay. And then God says, how did you know? Right? No. He says, who told you? Which is really interesting. Not how did you know? Who told you? Like, who are you listening to? I thought you only knew my voice. Who are you talking to? Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I command you not to eat? The man replied, this is a classic. Classic, right, Metro? Classic. It was the woman. Yeah, it was. Her. I just met her. I don't even know. You gave her to me. I mean, he actually says it right here. The woman you gave, who gave me the fruit. I just ate it. It's not my fault you made me that way. But this woman, I don't know, met her at a blind date. She's the only one. It literally was a blind date. You put me to sleep. I woke up, boom, she's there. Blind date. You did this. Okay. Then the Lord asked the woman, what have you done? The woman goes, he did it. The serpent deceived me. And that is why I ate. I began listening to a voice that I thought to be true. So I did it. And now here I am. Couple of thoughts here. Number one, these phrases that point out. I don't know if you've noticed this. Let me tell you what they heard, right? First of all, they heard this. Did God really say that? Did God really say that? You know what that means? Metro, do you know what that means? Well, basically is that the voice that comes to you to move you out of life into death or move you out of positivity to negativity, moves you out of light into darkness, always starts by causing doubt inside of you. Basically, the serpent's like, hey, girl, you're awesome, but you really can't hear well. Like, it first starts off with, like, did God really say that? I don't think so. See, some of you believe the lie. I really don't hear from God well. Other people do, but I don't. I'm too young, I'm too messed up, I'm whatever. I don't hear God. And so the voice that calls you into darkness is usually starts with this idea is, hey, I don't think you heard right. I don't think you can hear well. Trust me, you don't hear well. Some of us have believed that. And then it says this, you won't die. Whatever death is, well, I don't even know what that means, but you won't die. That's not going to happen. You'll be fine, girl. That's all good. It's not going to happen. And by the way, here's what's happening. What's really happening is you're being hindered. All these rules, all these things God says not to do, all these values, these character standards, these are all lies. Listen. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. Have you ever heard that? College is known for that, right? We'll just do it. Doesn't matter, man. YOLO. Do you guys know what that means? Oh, my gosh. Anyways, it's just, hey, it's not going to happen. We've heard the phrase, right? Whatever stays in Vegas... Whatever happens in Vegas, right? What is it? So let's do it again. All together, all campuses, the whole entire universe. Okay. What happens in Vegas? Not true. You know that. If it itches, it stays forever. Anyway, so let's keep on going. You'll get that later. I'm so sorry. Couldn't resist. Some of you guys are like, oh my gosh, I just got that. Okay. Not true. Number three. Third thought here. You will be like him. Don't you want to be like God? Here's what he's tapping into. You can be in control. How many of us would just love to be in control? I would love to be in control. I don't know about you. I love to be in charge and in control. I would. I look at bad stuff that happens around the world, even this past week. I want to be in control. I want to have a God complex. I want to have that power. So what happened? What really happened? What happened is, number one, their eyes were opened. Here's something I want you to understand. This expression of eyes being opened, you know, when you say, oh, I was enlightened, or my eyes were opened to this truth, what that really means for you and us is this, is that we have begun to think about a particular thought in a different way. So like, I used to think this was happening, but no, I don't. I have a new set of ideas of how I judge things. Like, so my eyes were open to this truth. Like, this is how I know now it works. I used to have thoughts about this particular arena, thought, concept before. It was incomplete, whatever. But now I have a new way of thinking of things, okay? So that's the expression. I have a new way of thinking of things. Their eyes were open because this is when humanity was introduced to the concept of extremes. It was either good or bad. That's why some of us would judge each other like that. We are either good or bad. We are either, you know, pure or unpure. We are both extremes. This is where shame and comparison has crept into our narrative, our words, our voices, what we hear. We just know extremes. We don't say, when I first started having kids, first of all, I would judge everybody else, right? Number one, that's what you do, right? When you don't have kids, you judge parents. Oh my gosh, do something. Then you actually have kids. And then you go, oh God, what did I have that done? And then when things go wrong, we go, okay, they don't know what they're doing. I mean, I've actually thought they are bad parents. Anybody ever thought that? Come on. Anybody thought that of you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, they are great parents. Number one, that whole concept needs to be thrown away because it's shame-based. It's the whole concept. Parents are just trying to do the best they can. They're either engaged or not engaged parents. But the extreme conversations mess us up. This is where it started. New way to look at something. And then God called to man, where are you? Where are you? Right? Had Adam ever heard God before? Of course he had. It was the voice that caused creation and life itself. It was the voice he was extremely familiar with. Have you ever, do you have someone in your life, like, when you hear their voice, it makes you smile? Like, you walk into the room, and you haven't even seen them, but you hear them. Like, you hear them in the kitchen, and you're like, oh, they're here. And they're not. They're not here. It was a speakerphone. And you're like, what? Oh, fine. You know? Or you go to a party, or you go, like, at work or something, and someone's in the room, and you hear them from a distance, and there are people who have the opposite effect on you, right? You just have to call this person and ruin your entire week. It's their voice. They don't even have to say anything. They'll just say hello, and you're like, that is so condescending. You know what I'm saying? It's like they bring up something. Here's what happened. The voice that caused life and creation to happen, the voice that led Adam with love and caused him joy and peace and confidence. Hey, I believe you can be in charge of this entire world. All that voice has now caused something inside of him that even Adam couldn't figure out. The voice that caused him joy now causes him guilt and shame and actually fear. Isn't it interesting when you connect that to all of Scripture? Every time God speaks to humans after this account, he starts off with like, relax, don't fear. Have you noticed that? Richard, read it. All the accounts are like, hey, 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 calm down. Don't jump out. Don't relax. It's me. It's me. It's me. It's me. God has to start with, don't freak out. Like, even when God says, hey, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? You love that, you know, John 3:16. He has to come along after that, John 17, and he says, hey, hey, by the way, I'm not doing this to condemn you. Relax. Something happened. He begins to have a negative emotion by hearing the voice of God. And then what happens? Well, then this whole idea of I hid and I was afraid, I was naked and I was afraid. Well, first of all, okay, so now you are now listening to a negative outer voice, and now a inner voice has just been birthed. I was naked. Who told you? Who told you you were naked? See, we think that God's saying, did the serpent tell you? That's our natural reaction. Mm-mm. God says, you just birthed something inside of you. It's gonna haunt you forever. Your inner voice just told you that. You don't know what you just did. You have no idea what you just did. It's starting to speak to you. There's nothing to fear here. There's no shame and guilt. There are no more people here in this scenario right now. It's the same. And something has happened to you. Who told you? And then what happens, right? It was the woman. It was the woman. It was the serpent. See, here's what happens. Shame always turns, I mean, I hate it because it rhymes, but it's true. It turns to blame. It always does. Your inner voice of shame will develop outer voice or words to blame everybody else. Because you have to somehow justify it. And if you can't handle your shame, you will blame everybody else. It is just what we're gonna end up doing because of this. Because at some point, things just changed fundamentally. And here's what we know about scripture, is if you read the stories right after that, humanity just goes downhill really fast, really fast. Cain and Abel happens. If you know that story, that's terrible. It just goes bad. And fast forward now, we're living in a world that just, you don't even know what's going on. Because people are listening to all kinds of voices. And you're like, who in the world is talking to you about killing all these people? Who? What's going on in this world? And you want to just scream out loud and just say, stop. But what is God's response in this? You see, right there in the garden, there was a gossip that started. This is God's reputation. This is what God does. He hides from you. He keeps from you. He deceives you. There was a false reputation started. The question is, what reputation do you have about God in your life that's keeping you from God? Let me tell you what really happened. When you fast forward from verse 13 all the way to verse 21, verse 21 says this. God says all these things. These are the consequences, yada, yada, yada. And then this is what actually the first thing God did. And the Lord, it says, and the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. God shed first blood. First blood. God starts. He starts with that. So this is what God's response is to wherever you are. The first thing he's going to do is sacrifice. He's going to initiate. Second thing, he's going to cover. And third, he's going to pursue. See, for some of you, it's that. It's really that. It's really that. You don't identify with all the things that happened in the garden, but you do identify with the fact that there's something that took place. There's some voice in your head. There's something that's causing you to shy away or to hide because something tells you you're not good enough or you're not. You're not. And you've got to figure out how to silence that. And so some of us hide, some of us portray a different life. I don't know, but it is us moving away. It's us saying, you know, I don't know. And God is having a different response for me. Here's what's interesting. The response really is this, that God will sacrifice, as in God initiates, God covers, and then God truly pursues us. What does that look like for us? What does that mean for you and me? Well, let me give you a couple of things really quick. Two passages of scriptures I think that you have to really understand. Number one is this idea of God wants you to know and to hear this truth. The first thing he wants you to hear is this. Hey, I want you to look for me to hear me. Look for me to hear me. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a what? Hope." He says, "In those days you will pray and I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." If you look for me. See, for some of us, we're just not looking anymore. Because here's our problem. We want to hear him so then we can see. Right? We want to hear him so we'll see. It actually works the other way. You actually have to look so you can hear him. You got to look for him to hear him in your life. What's keeping you from looking? What's that negative voice? What's that negative phrase in your life? Let me give you another one. This idea that I think God wants you to know. He wants you to, he's saying this. Come to me to know me. Come to me to know me. Psalms 27 says this. My heart has heard you say. I love this. You know, it's like, it's not my mind. It's not my ears. It's my heart. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. It's not my mouth that responds, it's my heart. This is my favorite passage in all scriptures. This is my life verse. It's in the NIV translation, International Translation. It says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. See, I don't know what's keeping you from coming, but if you come to him, you'll get to know him. If you look for him, you will hear him. But you have to move. You have to move. You have to move. It's your move. I love walking around with headphones. It's just my thing. I just do. I've got these AirPods here. And sometimes I walk around with headphones. Like I've done it for hours. Hours on end. I'll be walking around everywhere with them. I'm driving with them. Probably not a good idea. Anywho, I do it all the time. I just do. And I'm listening to stuff and I'm listening to music. What I listen to shapes my mood. It just does, right? When it's like a rough workout, I need to listen to some really violent music. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. It's just like I need. See, some of us, this morning, you have to do one thing, just one thing, is whatever you're listening to, that negative phrase, that story, that word, whatever it is that you're listening to. See, for me, it was, hey, you're not that smart. You're really not that smart. In fact, I mean, I have heard in me a voice say, you're an idiot. Like, if people just found out, man, oh my gosh, this is all gonna fall apart. It's all gonna fall apart. With two campuses, that voice has amplified. Like, I love Metro, and I love the fact that we are two locations, and, you know, we're just making an impact, and we're growing, and it's really great. But this voice doesn't shut up. Doesn't go, okay, you're awesome, I'll leave you alone. It goes, oh no, you're going to even crash worse. So what would it take for you to take these off? What would it take? What do you need to do? Because I'll tell you what, if you're a parent, if you're a boss, if you influence anybody, what influences you will influence them. You cannot ask people, kids, to be someone you're not. And they will hear your inner voice, hear this, louder than your outer words all day long. So what are you going to do? What is it going to take those things off forever? So what I want you to do, both campuses, if you're online as well, I want you to do this. I want to ask you, what do you think in this season of your life in this season of your life, what do you think God is saying right now? Like when you woke up this morning, okay? Some of you it was great. Others of you are like, oh God. What did you wake up thinking about? What is the one thing you're worrying about right now? What is it? Now, what do you think God is saying? Could God be saying something? What have you sort of heard God say, but you're like, I'm not quite sure? Now, as you're thinking about all those thoughts, regardless where you are, how you're watching this, I want you to do this. I want you to close your eyes really quick. Just close your eyes. Could we do that? Close your eyes. At Metro, let's close our eyes. Live stream, close your eyes. Let's just close our eyes for a second. What is right now? What is the one phrase that you hear God say to you? Is there a word? What comes right to mind right now? What is it? What is that one phrase for this season? What is God saying? Let me pray for us. Lord God, as we quiet our souls, we know that you hear us. So Lord God, would you speak? What is the one phrase, God, you want me to hold on to? What is it? What is that one phrase? Father, I pray that as we journey together the next several weeks, that we would learn to hear your voice. The voice, Lord God, that calls us out of darkness into light. It causes us to move past all the fears and shame and to be led by you. God, I pray that as we respond this morning, as we go receive communion or light a candle or go to the cross, as we respond, we only respond because we hear you. God, speak to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, let's stand if you want to.